many are yet to be fulfilled. We're looking at the prophecy fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ in His first advent, which we call Christmas. The other part of our study in God's Word is looking at the prophecies, the promises of God concerning Christ's second advent, His second coming, His promise throughout God's Word. And so I'd like to invite you to take out your outline as we take a look, as it indeed, all of this in God's Word by virtue of prophecies, promises of God to His people, and really to all, the promise of the gospel, the good news, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a promise. That's a promise. And many today have reached out by faith and claimed that promise in Jesus Christ. So these words that we've just sang in Christ alone are great words of hope, of faith, of new life. Those are the words of the gospel, really. Preparing the way of the Lord through prophecy throughout Scripture. But the guiding theme in all of this, and should be really the guiding theme in our lives as born-again believers, is that we would know Jesus Christ more fully, that you and I can make Him more fully known to others. That's a goal that God has for us regarding His Son and the good news of His Son to others, to our family, our friends, our neighbors. The renewal of all things, as we're looking and bringing this series to a close, we're looking at Revelation. So I'd like to invite you to turn, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Now I know that was read this morning, and so we won't read it again in its entirety, but we'll be looking at different parts of this passage. I believe in the hearts of God's children, and those who come to, by faith knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God also puts that desire to know Christ more, to love Him more, to obey Him, to follow Him, and to share Him. But also God reminds us through His Son and the good news, the gospel of His Son, that the best is yet to come. Aren't you glad? The best is yet to come. These words of Paul in your outline there before you, Paul's just reminding the believers in Christ there in Corinth, and he says, "No eye has seen." Now he's quoting from the Scripture, from God's Word, God's promise. "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." We're looking at what God has revealed in His Word through the Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, and we truly see that it's beyond our expectations, beyond our comprehension, really. The events that follow the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great white throne and judgment, the events that follow those are referred to as the eternal state. And that's what we're going to be looking at, is the eternal state. The Apostle John, in a vision of heaven and the eternal state, of course, was really a vision that's literally out of this world. It's what Paul is talking about there in 2 Corinthians, and you have that a portion of that where he says, you know, all of our troubles, all of our trials, all of our adversities and afflictions, compared to the eternal weights of glory, they're nothing compared to the eternity to come. We're going to be taking a look at that shortly. But have you ever heard, or maybe you've said it yourself, especially after you've seen and hearing what's going on in our time and culture, have you ever said, "Where's the world going to? What's happening in this world?" I can remember my grandparents seeing a lot of change, and they expressed some of the change there. I can remember my parents seeing a lot of change too. Now, I've seen change, and I share that with my kids and my grandkids, and you've seen change too. Let me ask you this. Do you think the world's getting any better? No. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that in the end times, the world's going to get worse and worse. And so that question is almost a hard cry. What is the world coming to? Well, God tells us that. Aren't you glad? I sure am. He tells us exactly where the world is coming to. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today, looking at that eternal state, if you will, of eternity to come. The cremation, in your outline before you, the cremation of the present heaven and earth. And God's not going to destroy this earth with another flood, and He's promised that. But He will destroy this earth and the world system with fire. Take a look at the passage you have in your outline before you from 2 Peter. But by the same word, meaning the word of the Lord, the promise of the Lord, the same prophecy, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, not for water, like the flood of Noah, if you will, the flood there in Genesis, but for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed, waiting for and hastening the coming day of the God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. It's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be a fearful time. This is what God is going to do. Take a look at what Jesus says also. Heaven and earth will pass away. He's saying the same thing that God says in His Word elsewhere and that we've just read. He speaks of that in Isaiah. But Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus is not saying heaven and earth may be passing away. He didn't say heaven and earth will possibly pass away, but He did say it emphatically and irrefutably that heaven and earth will pass away, and His word will never pass. That's why it's so important that you and I are in the Word of God on a daily basis to see what God has planned and what God is doing and what God has purposed for our lives individually, but also for the body of Christ, the church, to make Christ known more fully to our loved ones, to our friends, to our family. But why is God going to destroy the earth and the heavenly bodies? You've probably read these passages before and you say, wow, you know, there's so much beauty. You know, you look at the grandeur of the Rocky Mountains, and you look at all the various things that we have seen and that you have maybe even visited, like the Grand Canyon. You say, well, why? Can He just do a little cleanup? No, He can't. And I'll tell you why. You have it in your outline before you. Because sin not only condemns, and it does, it condemns all sinners, you and I. And the only solution to that condemnation is faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But sin not only condemns, it also corrupts. You've probably heard that little statement, if you will, that little ditty. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world. Because that's what sin does in the individual life. That's what sin does to a marriage. That's what sin does, if you will, to a family. That's what sin can do to a community where you live, where I live. Sin corrupts. And Jesus Christ brought that grace of redemption. Aren't you glad that we can be redeemed from the curse, from the penalty, from the power of sin? But there's something else. Sin is not all of that. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come, to be your Savior and my Savior. But sin also infects, as you see in your outline before you, sin infects and perverts all that man says is good. Sin is so pervasive in this world system and the world that you and I live in. The Bible speaks of the curse of sin. It touches our lives every day. That's why Jesus has to make a whole new earth and a new heaven. And that's why we have the creation. And again, you're outlined before you, the creation, the new heaven and the new earth. We see that in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Though we've only read chapter 21 verses 1 through 8. So I invite you to, as you're there in chapter 21, in verses 1 through 8, want to just take a look, if you will, at the creation of new heaven and new earth. The Lord reminds us in this context too, and throughout His Word, behold, I make all things new. Don't you like new things? Now, I know some of you collect antiques, and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, you go to you go to a garage sale and you say, hey, I know that is worth $2,000 and only selling it for $2. I'm going to get that. That's going to fall apart eventually too, right? But don't you like new things? But isn't it something when you buy something new, so quickly it gets what? Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. Oh, yes. Like our bodies. Like this world that you and I live in. But God says, behold, I make all things new there in Revelation. That's a promise. Here in Revelation chapter 21, take a look, if you will, the new creation. Verse 1 in chapter 21. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. A new heaven, a new earth, a new creation. Not just the dusting off, not just the polishing up, but a whole new creation, heaven and earth. God has the power to do that. And He also has a plan to do that. Are you part of that plan? You know, you can be a part of that plan right now. And we look at it from this side of that eternal state, of that eternal event, if you will, as the plan of salvation, don't we? And that's how you and I can be part of that plan that will be unfolding with a new creation, a new earth, new heaven. But notice, if you will, verse 2, he says something else. He says, and I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what we just sang about. That was what was sung earlier. The bride waiting for the bridegroom, okay? New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Why? Because the old Jerusalem, even during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, would not fulfill all that God has destined and purposed Jerusalem to do and to be. And so he says, the old isn't not going to do it, but the new will. It will truly represent me, and my presence will be there in all glory and majesty, and it will be truly a holy city, a city of peace, a city of relationship with a living God. God's presence, verse 3, take a look at verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Now right now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know that what God has promised and God has provided is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit within you. And God says in His Word that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. That's when you're born again. The Holy Spirit brings you to Christ, brings you to the foot of the cross, and brings you to the truth and the reality and a conviction of that truth that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, clothed in human flesh, died for your sins and for my sins. That one who died was buried in the tomb. 3 days, on the third day He arose. All of that the Holy Spirit makes known and understood to our hearts and minds. Do you understand that? I pray you do. I pray you do. And so we have, if you will, but here, the manifest presence of the glory of God unveiled in all of God's glory right there in the new Jerusalem, in the new earth, the new heaven. Dale Moody used to say, of all the attractions that heaven will have for us, the greatest of all those attractions will be the presence of God. Amen. The next thing, if you will, take a look at verse 4. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Have you wept? Maybe for the loss of a loved one? Maybe for difficulties you're going through? Have you wept? There won't be tears in the new earth and the new heaven. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have what? Let's say that together. Have what? Passed away. That's my God. Is that your God? I pray He is. And you can know Him through knowing and trusting and loving His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. And He says, there's coming a day in the lives of my people, there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pains. You have some today, maybe. No more pains. All that will pass away. Surely the best is yet to come. Aren't you glad? I sure am. Take a look also at verse 8. In verse 8, there's something else that won't be there. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. They won't be there. That's why God, when He makes a new heaven and earth, will be completely new, all perfect, all complete. We'll have no more death, no more pain, no more disease, no more cancer, no more sin. And something else will be there. In chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, God speaks of the river of life. That will be there. You know what He's doing? See what He's doing here in His Word. He's creating the Garden of Eden all over again. Isn't that neat? Maybe some of you have thought, you know, as you read through Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and before you get to chapter 3, or maybe you just got into chapter 3 and you see the temptation by the serpent, by Satan through the serpent of Eve, and the fall into sin, and you read creation. Boy, I would have liked to have been there. You're going to be there in the new one. And you read about the Garden of Eden and how beautiful it must have been, and it was. And you're going to see a new Garden of Eden. Right there in the middle of it is going to be the River of Life. I want to make a connection for you and I right now today, even before we see that River of Life, and we will see it. You'll be able to reach down and dip your hand in it. It'll be real. That's a dream. That's some vision. It'll be the new heaven, new earth. My God can do that. Can yours? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know He can. Amen? Yeah. But there's something else we need to know. Not only the cremation of the old earth and old heaven, the new creation, but the new creation begins right now. And you see that in your outline before you. The new creation begins right now in Christ. New life in Christ. We used to sing, we still sing that little chorus. New life in Christ. Amen? I don't know all the words right now, so I can't lead it all. And aren't you glad? I'm sure you are. I'd get you off key in every way, okay? But new life in Jesus Christ. Take a look at your verse before you. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, that's the operative phrase, in Christ, believing in Him, trusting in Him, loving Him, walking with Him, obeying Him. If anyone is in Christ, he is what? Circle that, if you will. Circle that on your outline. A new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. That's why it says in God's Word in Hebrews, so great a salvation. It is great. Look at the greatness of it, because we have a great and wonderful Savior. That's why. Amen? And He's the one who's making a great new earth, a new heaven, a new Jerusalem. But right now, by His grace, the power of His gospel, unto salvation to everyone who believes, right now, God is making new creations. That's every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that come to faith in Jesus Christ, where you can say with God, the old is past, the new has come. Take a look at Romans chapter 6. We are therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now this morning we're going to have believers' baptism. We don't baptize babies. Clearly taught in God's Word, you baptize believers. Amen? Yeah. Now we dedicate children and families. But we do, as a church, seeking to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and the great commission that He has given to the church and Christians to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe, to obey all things that Christ has commanded. So we have some believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that are going to be baptized today. You have in your bulletin, you have their personal testimonies. I want you to read those later on. And we thank the Lord for their faith in Jesus Christ and their walk with Him. But see, baptism is an outward expression of an inner reality. And baptism pictures, if you will, that dying with Christ, being buried with Christ under the water, and rising with Christ in the newness of life. Now that newness of life happens not in this tank of water, but it happens when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to obey Him. You want to enter into the waters of baptism. You want to step in those waters in obedience and tell the whole world, the world that is represented here and elsewhere too, I'm a follower, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. You see, baptism is not only declaration, conviction of truth, and a confession of faith, it's also a celebration that we have together with them because of the newness of life that they've already received in Jesus. Have you received that newness of life? Have you? I pray you have. You know, it's so very important for all of us. If you forget everything I say this morning, and you probably will, I have a good forgetter too, and my forgetter's getting better all the time. But if you forget everything else, please, please don't forget this. Jesus Christ came into the world to save you. He died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for your sins, for my sins. He rose victoriously from the grave to be the Lord of the living and the dead and to give eternal life to those who believe in Him. So please, if you forget everything else, don't forget that. The Spirit, take a look at your outline. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take of the waters of life without price. That's at the end, the conclusion of the book of Revelation. That's toward the end of the Bible. And there still God is inviting men and women and boys and girls, you and I, to come to Jesus. And take a look at the words of Jesus Christ that were said before John wrote these words, when Jesus was speaking to those there in Jerusalem. On that last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That same river that you and I, there in the eternal state, in the New Jerusalem, can just kneel down and take in our hands. You and I, by faith, right now, can take Jesus Christ, who is a living Savior, the loving Shepherd, the living water, into our very hearts and souls and lives. You know, it says there in the Old Testament, taste and see that the Lord is good. And He is good, isn't He? God is good. What's the answer?
All the time.
All the time. Aren't you glad? Amen. Yeah. But you know, the invitation is not just to taste, but to drink deeply of Jesus, the living water. Now, I know that's a picture. That's a metaphor. Because Jesus is paralleling, if you will, in that word, invitation, the drinking of the living water, who is He, and believing in Him is one and the same. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're drinking that living water. But don't forget the other part of that. that because Jesus is in your life, the living water, the living Savior, the loving Shepherd, you also can share Christ with others. And that living water, Jesus Christ in your life, will splash out in what you and I say, what you and I do, will splash out into the lives of our loved ones, splash out into the lives of our friends, splash out into our community. You can't hold Jesus back. You can't. Only you can take that next step. If you're here this morning and you've never experienced a new life, the saving life of Jesus Christ in your life, maybe you're just seeking. Maybe you come today by God's appointment. Every one of us are here by His appointment. But maybe you're here by God's appointment for you to do three things. As simple as ABC. Admit that we're sinners and we need a Savior. Believe that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, bore your sins, bore our sins on the cross, and rose triumphantly. See, by faith, commit your life to Jesus Christ. We have three different prayers here. Nothing special about these words. You can pray something similar to these, or you can pray in your own words. Best of all, in your own words, really. But just by way of, if you will, encouragement, we have three different prayers. Maybe you're just searching, and you're really not sure about these things that you're hearing this morning. Or maybe you've been hearing things from maybe a fellow worker who's a Christian. Maybe from your mom, maybe from your dad, maybe from someone else, your aunt, your uncle. And you're saying, you know, I'm still searching. Take a look at what we have here. Dear God, I'm really not sure who you are. Maybe you're really not sure. Maybe you've never read. Maybe you have read the Bible. I don't know. Though I honestly have mixed feelings in my heart, I sense a thirsting in my soul to know you personally and to invite you into my life. I ask you today to give me understanding of how I could reach out to you and take your living water and experience the plan that you have for my life. Show me in the Bible and through the counsel of others how to begin to discover more of you in my world. Maybe that's where you're at. I don't know. God knows. He knows where each and every one of us are right now. And He knows the very next thought you have right now. He knows the very next step you'll take. Maybe you're not a searcher. Maybe you've heard the gospel many times. But you're now realizing you've put them off too long. You see, today is a day of salvation. Prayer for those asking for salvation. Take a look at this, if you will. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming into this world to be my Lord and Savior. I confess that I'm a sinner, that I have lived my life without any regard for you. Today I'm turning from my sins, and the direction my life has been taking. I ask you to forgive my sins, come into my life, and give me your power to live for you. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. I don't know, but God knows. He knows where every heart is, my heart, your heart. Maybe you've made a decision. We run into folk here in the mountain, down below. I made a decision when I was 13. Up there in South Mountain Bible Church. Really? Yeah. Well, where are you now in Jesus? I don't know. Maybe you're there. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe your heart has grown cold. Maybe over the past years you've become very indifferent to Jesus Christ. Would you consider these words in this next prayer? Look at this. Prayer for those who are struggling. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm struggling in my personal life and in my daily walk with you. Today I seek your cleansing and renewed strength in my life. I ask you to restore my joy in you and lead me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of your name that I bear. Open your word to my heart and my life to your Holy Spirit, and fill me to overflowing with your living water so that others will see you in my daily walk. Just a few weeks ago, the people in Hawaii were warned of an impending nuclear attack. There are many fears, many who are crying, many who are searching desperately for a place to protect their children, their family, themselves. There are many who are praying. They didn't know that it was a false alarm. They, and we know that today, don't we? But what God has said in His Word today, beloved, please, that is not a false alarm. It is not. God is the answer. And that answer is in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we have three who are professing believers in Jesus Christ. And I ask those who are to be baptized, if you would come forward and just sit here in the front row. And make a